Samanta chakha valesu atra gachyantu devata Saddhammam muni rajasa sunantu sagamo khatam Dhamma savana kalo ayam badanda Dhamma savana kalo ayam badanda Dhamma savana kalo ayam badanda Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammaha sambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammaha sambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammaha sambuddhassa Okay, hopefully today I can finish my talk, which I intend to give only one, but it become three. One time I become, even three times, I may not be able to finish it. Okay, so yesterday we talked about form fabrication aggregate, how fabrication fabricated things. I think you all understand already, right? And now we come to the last aggregate, which is consciousness aggregate. Consciousness, there are six types of consciousness. Eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, body consciousness, and the last one, mind consciousness. And for the condition for the consciousness arise depend on sense object and sense basis. When you have the eyes and there's a visible object come to impinge with the eyes, then eye consciousness arise just to see the visible object, just see the color only, and follow my many mind consciousness to interpret what is this color, the form, the name, and further the reaction, your reaction towards this visible object, whether you like it or you don't like it, whether you crave for it or you reject it. And therefore, the volition start when you like it, the volition start to, or the fabrication start to fabricate fabricated things. It can fabricate a fabricated feeling. If you attach to the feeling, then it fabricates feelings. Or you fabricate form or perception or consciousness again. Okay? So, when the eyes, for a practitioner, inside practitioner, when I see something, he knows the coming together of sense object and sense basis that cause eye consciousness to arise just to see. He did not, or he does not identify seeing as I or myself. But in the conventional term, we say I see, I hear, I smell, right? But as a, for insight meditator, he should discern cause and condition for arising of I consciousness so that he will not identify I seeing is I see, or hearing is I hear, or tasting as I taste, or thinking as I think. However, mind arises very fast. Before we can analyze condition, we already fall into sakkaya ditthi. We already fall into identity view. So as an insight practitioner, we have to train our mindfulness and wisdom to be fast, precise, keen, alert. Only then the mind will not fall into habitual reaction of identification and craving. Okay? So, and sometimes, let me give another example. When we hear something very pleasant voice, something pleasant voice, then we immediately we cling to it, especially for those who likes music. Then when we cling, the moment the sound impinge the ear sensitivity, then hearing consciousness, which is consciousness aggregate, feeling consciousness immediately arise and know the sound. Initially, just know the sound. Whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, hearing consciousness cannot know. Followed by many mind consciousness, then you feel it's very pleasant. The voice, the sound, the music is very pleasant. Then immediately, volition based on craving or clinging arise and desiring for the sound again and again. And when that volition arises accompanied by clinging and desire, it fabricated things already on the spot. And Buddha, how the Buddha explained this volition? Let me quote one explanation from the sutta. He said, what's volition? Bhikkhu, in Sanyutta Nikaya 12, Nidana Sanyutta. Bhikkhu, what one intends, and what one plans, and whatever one has a tendency towards. For example, you hear the really pleasant sound, or you see the beautiful visible object, enticing visible object, or agreeable visible object. Then you plan, or you have a tendency to get it again and again, right? It's the working of the craving, it's a working of the desire. So you have the tendency, you plan to get it again and again. So what one intends to get it again and again, what one plans and whatever one has a tendency towards, that this becomes a basic for the maintenance of consciousness. Okay? When there is a basic, because of my cling to it, desire for it, and it becomes a basic for the maintenance of consciousness. And when there's a basic, there is a support for the establishing of consciousness. What's the basic? What's the basic there?
Mind.
Desire. Your desire, your tendency, you plan to get it again and again, you have the tendency and inclination. All this become a basic for the establishing of consciousness. Okay, so when there's a basics, there is a support for the establishing of consciousness, and when consciousness is established and has come to grow, there is the production of future renewed existence. So whatever we like...
Can you say that again?
That last sentence? Okay.
Thank you.
When there's a basics... Basics mean you have desire, you have wish for, you have tendency, you have inclination to something, to visible object, to sound, to your perception, to your form, to your formation aggregate, and to your formation perception aggregate, and so aggregate and so on. There is a support. This desire is become a support for the establishing of consciousness. Okay. And when consciousness is established and has come to grow, there is the production or generation of future renewed existence. It's clear? It means that when this is how fabricated consciousness. Yesterday you explain what are the mechanism of this. This one of the, I give another way of explanation, right? So So whenever your six senses come to contact with six sense object, then you have that intention to get it, desire to have it, and plan to have it again, and you have the tendency towards it, then this becomes a basics for the maintenance of consciousness. Let me repeat again. When there is a basics, there is a support for the establishing of consciousness. So craving, desire for something, is the support for consciousness to arise again and again, again and again. When consciousness is established and has come to grow, there is the generation or production of future renewed existence. Therefore, fabrication aggregate, not only fabricate present moment to moment five aggregate, it also paves the way to future renewed existence whenever you have desire, whenever you have tendency, whenever you have inclination to get something. What is this something? Form aggregate in order to get pleasant feeling again, in order to get beautiful perception, in order to get consciousness again. In order to assist, no annihilation, assist, to live again. And this causes the consciousness gain the support. And therefore consciousness, when gains the support, it grow and produce new, renewed existence in the future. Is it clear? Clear or not? Clear? Okay. So this is how, go back to the fabrication. How fabrication fabricate five aggregate from moment to moment and also pave the way for future renewed existence. Future renewed existence means another five aggregate in a future life. It's the same word, same thing. Okay? Then it's clear? Okay. So this
are present life also?
Of course, moment to moment, when I say moment to moment, whenever you crave for something, when your eye sees a beautiful visible object, you have desire to get it, then that fabrication start to work already. Start to fabricate a new five aggregate. Only then you can feel the same feeling again. Only then you can get the beautiful perception of the visible object again. Only then your consciousness can work again. Therefore, fabricate the feeling you want, the perception you want, the consciousness you want, right on the spot. Whenever you have desire, you have inclination, you have tendency to get something. And also, not only from moment to moment, it will drag on to the next life. Next life, a new five aggregate again. So long the root cause of craving is not exhausted, then the five aggregates keep on renewing. Not the same one. It's not the same five aggregates. It keep on renewing. But it's also based on the old one. Otherwise, the new one cannot arise. It's interdependent. Okay?
So the consciousness is already there. If we don't have a desire and clinging anymore to support this consciousness, then it will stop.
Yeah, it will stop. It will stop reproduce. This is the reason, as an insight meditator, we work to destroy the root cause. We don't work to stop the sensual desire not to arise. No, not possible. So long the craving is still there, so long the desire is still there as a lying, latent tendency. Craving, desire, greed is called latent defilement. Anusaya kilesa. It's always there. Sometimes it sleeps only. When you don't feel sensual desire, then the craving, which is latent defilement, just slipping. But the moment your eyes come to contact with beautiful woman or beautiful man, this slipping craving start to wake up, become active, and you want to act already. Therefore, as an insight meditator, we keep on focusing on our breath to let this all latent defilement sleep. Don't wake up. Sleep all the time. Don't wake up and disturb my mind. Okay. This is the purpose of concentration. Suppressed. Because we suppress all the latent anusaya kilesa, suppress the latent defilement, including anger. Anger, competition, all the defilements, doubt. If you mind focus on the breath, all this latent defilement are sleeping, not active. So long you are not mindful. So long you are not mindful, this latent defilement, I sleep enough. I need to act. I need to act now. So it will pop up to the surface of the mind. And when you pop up to the surface of the mind, and yet you're still not mindful of your mind, you cannot note the mind affected by greed as mind affected by greed and see it just a mental state, not yourself, then you will be trapped. You will act according to your mental defilements. So it's just an interdependent of mind and body. Okay?
So like the example yesterday of the beautiful fall colors. So the consciousness that when we see that this time, like we go out, let's say, whether we're an arahant or a worldling, when we see the beautiful fall colors, that's resultant consciousness,
yes,
right?
Yes.
That eye consciousness, yes. Seeing the fall colors, it's because in the past we had a craving to
yes,
see it.
You have a craving to see it again and again, so that because when you have the craving and desire to see the beautiful object again and again, it fabricates things. So it fabricates a five aggregate to have eye consciousness to see the same thing again and again.
So that resultant consciousness,
yes, so eye consciousness.
We cannot avoid. We're going to see the beautiful or the
yes,
ugly things no matter what.
Yes, yes.
Whether
you're going
we're
to
an arahant or a worldly.
Yes.
But then what we do with it at that moment.
Yes, okay. So whether you're arahant or ordinary person being, arahant also see beautiful woman, right? Right? Every day he go pindapat, so many beautiful women offering arm to him. He also see beautiful woman. But to him, seeing is just seeing. Seeing the beautiful object does not activate his craving. For what reason? Because craving has no more in his mind stream. Craving has been completely uprooted in his mental stream. What has died cannot reborn again. So it's no more craving in him. So to him, seeing is just seeing. And for non-arahant or noble person, when he sees, or practitioner, when he sees a beautiful object, then the moment of contact, this pleasant feeling arises in him, right? Automatically, arahant also got pleasant feeling. And for practitioner, for stream enterer, I don't think I can finish talk today. For stream enterer, because there are so many side talk come in, for stream enterer, for once returner and non-returner, there's three stages of noble one. How they see the beautiful visible object. And for arahant, how he see a beautiful visible object. And for non-practitioner, how he see a beautiful visible object. Okay? For non-practitioner, when he sees beautiful objects, he feels pleasant. He feels pleasant feeling. And because of that pleasant feeling, that according to dependent origination, dependent on feeling, craving arises. And depend on craving, so clinging. So when for ordinary person who has no mindfulness and wisdom, so when his eyes sees a beautiful visible object, Then pleasant feeling arise in him, followed by craving. And after craving, if he cannot note his mind, then it become intense. Craving become very intense. When it become very intense, your whole body, this intense craving will produce four elements in the body. We call mind, matter produced by mind. Craving is mental state, right? This craving will produce four elements in the body, especially heat element and wind element. Fire element and wind element in the body, your body start to become hot and you want to act. Wind element push you, push your physical body to act, to pursue that beautiful visible object. And this action is called karma. Every karma supported by craving, desire, will fabricated things, will immediately produce another five aggregate. On the spot, therefore five aggregate are arising and passing away all the time. We cannot see on it. On the spot as well as pave the way for future five aggregate in next life.
Wait.
So this is how ordinary person who has no mindfulness, who has no wisdom, this is how he behaves. This is how he keep on performing karma. This is how he paved the way for future renewed existence. Is it clear? Clear? Okay. Wait, hold your question first. Then for noble disciple, stream enterer, sotapanna, sakadagami, anagami, how they behave when their eyes see a beautiful visible object. Because as a noble person, they have mindfulness, they have wisdom, right? So when they see a visible, beautiful visible object, they apply mindfulness. And when that beautiful visible object impinge to eye sensitivity, then eye consciousness arise seeing the object caused by pleasant feeling. Immediately he know that's pleasant feeling in him, arise in him. Then he contemplate pleasant feeling as pleasant feeling. Not like Suki, my pleasant feeling. Okay? You cannot contemplate my pleasant feeling, no. You see pleasant feeling as pleasant feeling. As pleasant feeling, not myself, no identification. So this noble person, he sees pleasant feeling as pleasant feeling, followed by contemplate impermanent. So he sees pleasant feeling is impermanent. Immediately he sees the pleasant feeling arising, passing away, arising, passing away. So when that pleasant feeling passes away, and it cannot trigger craving. Craving cannot follow after pleasant feeling because it already passed away. Therefore, the noble disciple see things as they really are. Now he keep on contemplate in order to see things as they really are, as they really are. And how about Arahant? Arahant, immediately when the beautiful visible object impinge his eye sensitivity, that cause eye consciousness to arise followed by pleasant feelings, and his mind get detached from that pleasant feeling. Just detached. This mentioned in the sutta, not my creation, it's from sutta. So Arahant see whatever he see, he just detached from it. Of course, no craving will arise because he has no more craving. The latent tendency of craving has been uprooted in him, will never arise again in him. So he just detached from whatever he sees, he hears, he tastes. Okay, any question?
Yes. Just a question about karma. So when pleasant feeling arises, if mindfulness is not applied, and a person acts on that pleasant feeling with craving,
yes,
in a way that is below the five precepts, they act
against the precepts, okay.
And they do this repeatedly. Is this what causes a person to be born in the woeful states?
If that karma, if that breaking of the five precepts, that karma ripen in his dying moment, in his dying moment, if that karma ripened in his dying moment, then this karma will bring him to reborn in a four woeful state. But if in his dying moment, he has breaking all the five precepts, but so happened during his dying moment, he is so smart not to think how many precepts he has broken, but only think of one good deed he has done, then it may cause him to reborn in happy destination.
Can't control it. No control. The person has no control unless they reach Sutta Punch. A person has no control over what ripens until they reach...
If he can control his last moment of death, last moment of death, if he can control not to think of bad thing, think of the... Because everybody good do good as well. So if he can remember one good deed he has done during his dying moment, also can cause him to reborn in happy destination. Okay? But for those who have performed so many unwholesome things, it's very difficult for mind. It becomes a tendency. It becomes a habit. Habitual. So it's also very difficult for him to think of good thing during dying moment. Okay? Okay. Okay.
I'm not sure I understand the difference between the worldly person and the Sekha, the non-Harahantri group.
Mm.
When they see something, that's a resultant consciousness for them.
Mm.
And there's craving in both groups.
Mm. Yes.
But for some reason that I don't really understand, for the Sekha, there's less momentum there. Momentum or less.
Yes.
Propensity to create
Correct.
A fresh karma.
Correct.
But why is that? Because at that very moment they see it as it really is?
Yes, because of their maturity of wisdom. And also because some of the latent defilement, kilesa, anuseya kilesa, has been uprooted. Like sakaya ditti, for the sotapan, has no more sakaya ditti. Therefore, there's no, when he sees the pleasant feeling, no identification of pleasant feeling as myself. No identification. That latent defilement already no more in his mind. But for worldling, still got sakaya ditti. So his wisdom is not mature. And his mindfulness and slow, sluggish. Wisdom also dull, not sharp. Therefore, although both may see things as they really are, but the degree is very different. The degree and also the spontaneous reaction also different. Okay?
Mm-hmm. And so, being mindful at a dying moment seems more critical than being do a good deed when...
Just now I say, if you're a person do the bad thing all the time, it cannot be mindful at a dying moment. Because during dying moment, the mind is very weak. You cannot think of wholesome thing.
I'm talking about people who are doing good things most of the time.
Okay.
But it could be suffering from illness or whatever.
Mm.
It's hard to keep mindful too.
Therefore, it is time for you to contemplate pain first. Now you should learn to contemplate pain. So during dying moment, a lot of pain, then you know how to contemplate pain, not to carry away by the pain. So contemplate pain of dukkha, vedana is very beneficial. Just like when I lie, before I sleep, I lie on the bed. The moment I feel pain, some on my body, the mind automatically pain, vanishing, it's become automatic. So you train your mind to become automatic, not to lying on a bed, I'm painful, no. Right? So make the practice your refuge. So when a contemplation become automatic, then pain is nothing. Even during dying moment, then you just know unpleasant sensation, unpleasant sensation as unpleasant sensation. Therefore, don't afraid of pain.
Mm.
Okay, can I continue my
talk?
Otherwise, I cannot finish. Okay, where I stopped just now? Five aggregate. Okay, so we cling. I roughly explained to you five aggregate. If you want to know more detail, please read my book, The Path to Happiness. There's a one section called Introduction to Five Aggregate. You can get it in Kindle book, from Amazon. Okay, then and come back to the Arahan Manta Niput. Punna Manta Niputta. He said that the notion of I comes because of clinging, not without clinging. And clinging to what? Clinging to five aggregate. So we strongly cling to five aggregate. And clinging to five aggregate bring us long-term suffering, dangers. And it's very risky. If we constantly cling to this five aggregate, then it brings us, Buddha said, long-term suffering. How? Let me give an example from Yamagasutta. Suppose there's a householder, there's a man. There's a householder who is very rich. He has lots of property and protected by a bodyguard. And there is a man who want to kill him, who want to take his life. And this man think that this householder is very rich, and protected by bodyguard. It's not easy for me to approach him, to come close to him and take his life. Why not? I get close to him first. So he went to him and told the rich man, I want to become your servant. Let me serve you. So then the rich man take him as a servant, and this servant, rise up after him and retired after him and show all the agreeable way to him, agreeable in his action and endearing in his speech. So, after some time, the rich man get close to him already, place faith in him, has confidence in him, place faith in him, and treat him as a close friend or beloved friend. And one day, when this man, not this servant, found this rich man alone, and he quickly approached him, and kill him with a knife. So what this example, what this simile want to convey? This servant is like five aggregate. Right? If you get close to this five aggregate, trust him, place faith in him, and cling to him, without him you cannot live, then finally you will be killed by this five aggregate. And even though this servant, he is a murderer toward this rich man. Wasn't he a murderer? Though the other cannot recognize him. Mm-hmm. So, wasn't this five aggregates is our murderer, even though we cannot recognize him? This five aggregate become murderer only when we place faith in them, or when we trust him, and when we cling to him as myself, then these five aggregate become murderer. And he is a murderer, even though you don't recognize him, he's still a murderer. Is it clear to you? Okay. So, therefore, Venerable Sariputta say, if you regard five aggregate, let me talk about one, form aggregate. If you regard formed aggregate as self, or you regard self as you regard self as possessing form, or form as in self, or self as in form, then let us analyze this four first. Okay. If you regard form as self, you see form as and self as one, right? Form as self. So you see form and self as one, which is not correct. Why not correct? Form as self. Why not correct?
Form is always changing.
Form is ever changing. Some more? I want precise answer.
It's earth, wind, fire, and water.
Huh? No, this is not the answer I want.
Form is not me.
Ben, Ben?
If you cut off your arm, that may become two self.
If you regard form as self, what's wrong with this statement? The answer is very simple. Simply, there's no self. Simply, there's no self. How can you regard form as self? Right? So your answer is not precise enough. Your answer shows that you still have the perception of self. Therefore, you cannot see the statement clearly. Only Michael get it. Michael said, there's no self. Right? So if you see form as self, it's already wrong. Why? Because there's no self at all. How can you see form as self? Okay? So, if you regard form as self, you have the wrong view. Simply, you have the wrong view. Then wrong view will kill you in a round of rebirth. Okay? This is the first statement. Second statement. Self as possessing form. No. What's wrong? Self as possessing form.
There's no self.
So the fourth statement become very easy to understand. You just say there's no self, then finished. So self as possessing form, you see self as one, form as one. Mm-hmm. This is different within the first one. The first one is form as self. Let's put aside there's no self first. Put aside there's no self. If you see self, form as self, you see these two as one unit. Mm-hmm. Okay? And the second one, self as possessing form, you see these two as two different units. Mm-hmm. First is one unit, now you see these two as different unit. Self as possessing form, self as having form. Mm-hmm. I think most of us has this view, right? Mm-hmm. Jonathan, do you have this view?
No. I would not have that view.
Okay. What type of view you have?
What type? I have the view. I have no view. No I.
You have no view. You still have. I have no view. I.
Only view.
That's why you say, I have no view. You still cling to I. I have no view. That's why Dhamma is silent. I cannot speak at all. Right? Cannot speak at all. Whatever you speak, there's self in it. Okay. So please see the difference, because these two statements always occur in a sutta. Mm. So first, form as self, you see these two as one unit. And the second one, self as possessing form, you see these two different units. There's a self, and inside self, there's form. Most of us have this view, okay? And the third one, form as in self. Form, this is also two units. There's a form as inside the self. And the last one, self as in form. It's just opposite only. Self as, there's a permanent self inside that form. And when that form die, that cell transmigrate. This is what it means. That's why cell is inside the form. Huh? Form can die, body can die, but the cell never die. The cell transmigrate to another place, another existence. So if we regard this one of these four, form as self, cell as in form, or cell as possessing form, or form as in cell, or cell as in form, then we become engaged with form. Engaged with form and cling to form and take a stand upon the form as myself. If we have one of these four views, then our mental stream, our mind become engaged with form. Cling to form and make a stand upon the form. The form as myself. And this identification to form and clinging to form, adherent to form, make the form become murderer. It make the form become murderer to kill you and bring you to the cycle of rebirth again and again. Therefore, clinging to form, identification to form, or five aggregate, anyone, one of the five aggregate, if you cling to it, identify with it, then it will bring you harm and suffering for a long time to come. This is what Buddha said in the sutta. Okay? Clear or not? Wow, very hot. Okay. Sweating. Okay, now come to the most important question. How not to cling? Right? How not to cling to five aggregate? This is the most important question. Otherwise, we learn all this for what? We learn to understand first the danger of clinging, the consequences of clinging. Then we don't want that consequences. We don't want to be reborn again and again. Because when there's rebirth, there's aging, sickness and death, separation from what you love and so on. So we don't want all these undesirable things. Then how to achieve it? How not to cling? This is the most important question all the practitioners should know. So in Nyamaka Sutta, Venerable Sariputta give five ways of contemplation. What's the time now? Oh, 1 hour. I don't think I can finish the talk today.
We can skip the walking time.
No. Should we continue tomorrow or you want to hear today?
Hear today and continue tomorrow.
No, for how long, how much more time do you need? We can sit.
Half an hour. I need another half an hour. Yeah, I think we did it tomorrow. It's okay, tomorrow. Because sometimes, difficult to say, sometimes when I talk, I suddenly think of another sutta, then I will take another sutta and expand my talk. Therefore, I cannot finish. And some sutta are very useful. Some this intuitive knowledge, I cannot plan one. No? What I plan is such short. But the intuitive knowledge just come on the spot. Then it takes me a longer time to finish my talk.
Actually, it's nice to have dumb talk every day.
Only for this retreat. In my many retreats, I didn't talk that much.
I think everybody wants to hear. Especially me, because tomorrow I cannot be here.
Don't worry, make of notes.
Because I'm sweating. Okay, let me continue a little bit.
Church, crack the door for yourself?
No, no problem. Okay, let me continue a little bit so that at least you know one contemplation. There are five contemplation in order to not to engage with five aggregate, not to cling to them, not to take a stand upon them as myself. Venerable Sariputta give us five ways of contemplation. Number one, he said that we should contemplate form aggregate as impermanent form. So what is form? Four elements, right? We have already learned. Don't see the body. Yeah? If you see the body, you stay practice, you stay in the conceptual realm. See the four elements in the form. Only then you see ultimate reality. Please remember this point. Whenever I talk about form, you must remember four elements. Okay? So whatever arises, if you go into your body, whatever you see, it's just four elements. You can find whether it's earth element, just like Jonathan is swallowing saliva all the time, that affect me, I also continue to swallow because of it. So this also impermanent, right? The water element, swallowing the saliva, then saliva going down, wind element. So whatever you see, you survey or investigate in this body, it cannot escape from the realm of four elements. Please remember this. And these four elements is keep on changing. The saliva is not there all the time, right? Sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not. Therefore, it's not permanent. So you must see it's not permanent. Huh? And the heat element, for example, now I feel hot because my energy is going out, therefore I feel hot. When I stop talking, then I feel cold again. So this heat element is not permanent. It's changing all the time. Same as other element, like supporting wind element. The moment you sit, your wind support you. You sit very straight. After 1 hour, start to go down. Go down. Jia Hong, you are going down. You cannot see very straight, your body is going down again and again. This means that wind element is also impermanent, right? And the mind is not supporting the wind element, then it goes down again and again. So whatever you survey, you investigate in this form, these four elements keep on changing. Therefore, you should regard this form aggregate as what Venerable Sariputta suggested, impermanent form. As impermanent form. Important is as impermanent form as, not impermanent form as myself. One word makes different. Huh? Impermanent form as impermanent form. Therefore, you see form as form, not form as myself, or not form as in self, or self as in form. We want to cleanse all these four. Like self as in form, form as in self, or self as possessing form. We want to clean all this form. All these are wrong view based on the self. So simply because we do not see form as form. And we do not see form is impermanent. Therefore, we do not see impermanent form as impermanent form. So if you, by discerning four elements in the body, then you can come to conclusion, nah? Impermanent form as impermanent form, then your consciousness will not engage with form, will not cling to form, and will not take a stand upon form that this is myself. Okay? I think enough for today. Too many you cannot digest. 1 hour enough. Okay? Dhamma talk should not exceed 1 hour. We try to finish tomorrow. Thank you so much. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You can go. Mm-hmm.